Since starting this podcast, we've been working hard on improving, especially the sound quality, and I hope we are getting there slowly. So thank you so much for your patience and also for your incredible support through Patreon, donations, signing up for a membership on my website, Light on Conspiracies, or the newsletter. So thank you, extremely appreciate it.
Welcome to Light on Conspiracies, the place where truth and love transcend the darkness. Your host, Peace Award-winning researcher Ole Damagod. To listen to this full interview, just go to lightonconspiracies.com and subscribe.
Really believe in science, and we're making all this progress, and then all of a sudden you just go and take all that away from them. For some people, that's completely devastating. For true truth seekers, it's like, oh, great, there's more truth. Awesome.
I'm here today with my new friend, Marty Leeds, who is an extraordinary human being, I think, and an exquisite researcher. I've had the pleasure of watching quite a few of his videos and so on. Absolutely mind-blowing stuff. Very low-key, methodical. I still can't remember how you say it, but meticulous.
Meticulous.
And in very great detail, he helps to explain and expose many of the mysteries that are ongoing today. He is the author of at least 5 books, I know, Pi and the English Alphabet, Volumes 1 and 2 and 3, The Peacock Tales, The Alchemy Writings of Claudia Pavonis, which is available on Amazon, and also Pi the Great Work, which is unfortunately currently out of print, but I hope that will soon be back online. He's also, or he was, the host of his own podcast, the Marty Leeds Mathematical Radio, and he has also an ongoing lecture and video series available on YouTube/ Marty Leeds with double E, double three, Marty Leeds 33. And, well, I'm very honored and grateful that he wants to come on this show, because he's been on many other very popular podcasts, and he has also lectured through the States and Canada. In addition, he's a musician, a great guitarist, and has 3 records out, and I think there's another fourth coming this year. So without further ado, Marty, it's a real pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Do you know, over the years, I've delved into many dark areas, and many people have asked me, why are you doing it? What is the point? I mean, shouldn't you focus instead of more uplifting spiritual things instead of just digging into these dark areas? And I have. I mean, I've spent many years with Raja Yoga and other spiritual areas, and when I look in my bookshelves, it's like either spiritual things or mass murder and assassinations. It's a bit strange. But if I can ask you, how do you see this thing with the light and the dark? Is there such a thing as evil? And how the hell did we end up in this situation where we are in now?
Well, that is the question, isn't it? That's a good, you know, okay, so good and evil, let's start there. Is there evil in the world? Of course. Of course. Is there good in the world? Of course. I feel, and kind of where I come from is that, you know, with the metaphor in the Bible of the idea that good and evil come from the same tree, right? There's the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, and that man picked the fruit from that knowledge, if you will, and then he became one with, as have the knowledge of the divine, if you will. Good and evil to me come from the same tree. And so the same knowledge system, and this is really what I talk about extensively, is that the same knowledge system that the dark occultists have is the same knowledge system that the light occultists use. And it's only how that information and that knowledge system and that sacred science is used. And that's what determines one's intentionality, is what determines how that information plays out in this world. So many people that look into the occult, and I get shit for this all the time, So many people that look into the occult are only focusing on the evil aspects of the occult. And what I want to do is go in and take back and reclaim the information that has been stolen from humanity that actually points directly to the light, directly to the divine, directly to man's spiritual nature and his direct connection to God. Those are the things that I feel have been taken. When you look at the people that are in control of the world, and if they flash certain symbolism, or if they seem to associate with certain sort of ideologies that may be heralded in certain secret societies, the reason they're doing that is because there is truth there. It's because there is serious, serious knowledge there. And if you take that knowledge and then replace it with nonsense and propaganda and lies and deceit, well, then you have one up on humanity. And what I really feel like is going on in our world today is that the dark occultists, the dark magicians, the dark wizards, whatever you want to call those people, Satanists, Luciferians, whatever you want to call them, have gone in and have stolen the divine knowledge and the sacred sciences from humanity. And they've turned that and they're using it against us. And you'll see that in every facet of our world today, whether that's governments, whether that's religions, whether that's secret societies, whether that's the educational system, whether that's the universities and colleges, whether that's, you know, the paradigm of science. You're going to see it in every single one of those facets. And so that's kind of my goal, is to go in and reclaim that light.
It's interesting because my website is called Light on Conspiracies, because I try to do the exact same thing, to use the light to expose the shadows, to go into the darkest of the dark areas in the belly of the beast. But I try to do that without judgment, without anger, without hatred, but just reclaiming back what has been unrightfully taken away from humanity. And so is that a correct approach, do you think, to do it without anger and revenge and hatred? Or are these feelings needed as well?
Well, I mean, anger is. I mean, I get angry, of course. I get very angry, especially when I see injustices of the world. And I think if you see injustices of the world and you use that anger in a positive way, meaning that you use it to enlighten people and shine a light on that darkness, then I don't really think there's any problem with that. I think it's a good use of your time, if you will. I don't. When we talk, the arguments and things that happen online and all these debates and calling people shills and everyone's a conspiracy, you know, everyone's a part of a CIA agent or all that stuff, I completely remove myself from that because I think it's all just childish, infantilizing bullshit, to be just straight with you. I don't want to engage in that, you know. I don't feel like if I'm angry with, if somebody comes online and says something about me, and I get angry about that, I don't really think that if I go online and tweet them or you know, reply to a comment and try to put them down, that helps anything in any sort of way. So if I do have that anger, I need to take that and I need to, you know, sort of put it through the mill, if you will, and take that and put it into something positive and put it into something out there that people can say, okay, I can think differently of my world. I can think about my life in a different way. I can think about God in a different way. I can, you know, that's sort of my goal. If you're just getting angry and getting pissed off at people online and that sort of stuff, I don't really think it helps anything. Especially since I've said this and I'm going to repeat it now, the people that you're arguing with online are, chances are, not your enemy. They're just people that are lost, that have been indoctrinated, that have been propagandized, that have been lied to their entire life, just like you. And we're all trying to figure this out. You know, there's real enemies in the world. There's real conspirators in the world. And those are the things that we should be focused on.
I can totally agree on that one. I always, just like you, stay out of it. You know, I'm a one-man band. I don't go into groups. I don't go into organizations. I don't go into these power plays because it's just a waste of time. I don't go into debates either because I don't think that is, sometimes it leads to something, but most of the time it's just an absolute waste of time, where it's a lot better to focus on solutions, focus on finding out real facts that can make a difference if it's put together in the right way. So Could you take us back a little bit in time and how did you wake up to what's going on in the world? What caught your interest and got you on this road?
Well, I mean, you know, rewind. I guess just like in my mid 20s or something like that, I just basically started asking all the questions that every human being is basically given when you enter this material world. Is what are you doing here? Where'd you come from? Where are you going? Is there a God? What's the purpose? Why are things so screwed up? You know, is this just the way it's supposed to be? You know, all of those sorts of things. And so, and I was a very scientifically minded person. I kind of grew up seeing religion and was kind of like, oh, this is all just a bunch of hooey. It's just kind of nonsense. And I was a very scientifically minded person. And then looking into science and reading a lot of those books and stuff like that, I realized that science wasn't giving me the answer that I was looking for. And I thought that science in general was full of crap in a lot of ways. A lot of the conclusions that they were coming to and their cosmology and stuff like that just didn't make a lot of sense. So that basically just kind of pushed me into a world of exploring everything and literally questioning everything. And that pursuit has grown as I've grown, of course. It's expanded and that sort of thing. But yeah, basically just kind of being a sort of a rebellious punk rock kid and basically saying, I'm tired of this and I want answers myself and I'm going to find them myself. And that's kind of where it led. And as far as like leading into like the occult and esoterica and then the math aspect of it and the symbolic aspect of it, those were just areas that when you actually read a lot of esoteric literature, it talks about all the time. And yet hardly anybody ever actually goes and reads those books and discusses what is actually written in those books. So that's kind of where this whole thing led. That's what my impetus was there.
These numbers and the magic around numbers is something that I've never really learned so much about. So could you explain a little bit about the importance of numbers and why, for the darker forces, why they're so important for them and how they use them against us?
Well, the first thing that you should ask yourself is anybody that's listening, as you just said, you're not really into numbers. And the first thing I say is, well, why not? Why is it that people have this sort of aversion to mathematics and numbers? That's the first thing you should ask, because when you realize that, wait a second, everybody hates numbers. Like literally for years before I did every single podcast, the person that I was being interviewed by would say, well, I'm not really into math. I'm not very good at math. And immediately I would ask, why? Why do you think that? Why is that? And then you realize it's because our educational system, quote unquote educational system, indoctrination system, basically taught us math in this awful way so that we wouldn't understand it. Okay, so what's so important about math then? Math, the reason that math is so important is that mathematics is a universal language, and it is the one language that permeates every single culture, every single civilization, no matter what time, you know, they lived, what eon or epoch or anything like that. Mathematics is the one universal language that every single culture can go to, A squared plus B squared equals C squared is always going to be that way. It's never going to change. It's something that is universal, verifiable, demonstrable, and anybody that wants to learn it can go and learn that. What that universal language actually points to is, where it sent me was an absolute understanding with the very things, the very hands that are in front of you, that man is directly connected to the divine in magical ways that we're not taught. And there's a reason that we're not taught that is because so we will not understand those connections. So we will not understand that magic. So we will abandon the mystery of the human experience. One of those things that I've talked about, I did a video called the Mathematics of the Human Body. And basically talking about the human hands. The hands are separated into phalanges. So there's these little sections on your fingers and thumb. And they're separated into 14 on your left hand and 14 on your right hand. So you got these two little sections on your thumb, three on each finger. And so that's 14 for each hand. Well, the moon, the basic phase of the moon is often been clocked at a roughly a 28-day phase. It's basically 29.53 days, but you have basically bookend days where there's a phase transition between the moon. And in between those, which is basically three quarters of a day that you're doing. So in between that, you basically have a 28-day cycle, and that's from the moon. And here the 28 days is right on your two hands. So therefore, it's this beautiful, beautiful, mathematically verifiable thing that shows you how as above, so below, how man is directly connected to the cycles and patterns of the moon above. Another interesting thing is that in ovulation, a woman's egg drops. It's basically a 28-day cycle for a woman's period, right? Basically what it's clocked at. Well, the egg drops in a woman's reproductive area. The egg drops roughly around the 14th day. So you basically have the start of a period, and on basically the 14th day, the egg drops, and then you have the rest of the period, which is 14 days, and then it starts over again. And that's exactly what you have in your human hands. So how is it that through simple arithmetic, simple adding, literally looking at your two hands, you have a connection to the moon and a connection to the cycle that brings every single human being into this plane of existence? And then you say, well, geez, man, I mean, a kindergartner could understand that. You know, somebody who has basic mathematical skills can understand that. And yet, why isn't that taught to us? Why has that been hidden from us? Well, I'll tell you where it brought me. It's like if I'm looking right here and I can see, oh, my God, you know, right in front of me, my two hands are right in front of me and say, holy cow, the same patterns that make the moon are the same thing that makes the human being. That takes the material realm of the human being that you're in right now and directly connects you to that spiritual realm that is right above us. And that to me is just absolutely beautiful. It's mind-blowingly beautiful. And all it asks you to do is some simple addition, a simple arithmetic, you know?
So will these numbers continue when you start comparing with other stuff? Because some people would say, well, 14, 14, it's just a coincidence. But are these being repeated on many different levels?
Yeah, I mean, all sorts of different things. A perfect example is the human skull, right? So pi is a big part of this whole thing, the ratio of pi, which is the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter. It's a transcendental and infinite number, basically. It's a cornerstone and a constant in mathematics, right? And so what you actually have in the construction of the human head, so you have 22 bones in your skull. Right. So there's it's 14 facial bones and then 8 in the cap. So there's 22 total that make up the skull. That skull actually creates 7 orifices, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils and a mouth. Well, 22 bones divided by the 7 orifices of your skull. That's how your brain is created, how your skeleton is created. 22 divided by 7 is 3.142. It's pi.
So indirectly, what we're looking at are sort of like universal formulas of creation.
That's exactly what we're looking at. We're looking at universal constants that absolutely point to design, architecture, creation, intelligence. Phi is another one of these things. Pi is one of them. We could talk about that all day long because that's all I talk about really. But phi is another one of those things that show you that there's an intelligence in creation. And it's very easy to see. And when you see that phi is, it's known as the golden mean or golden ratio or golden proportion. Many people know it. It's basically that spiral thing that's called the golden spiral. It's this ratio is actually found in the perfect pentagram. It's the number 1.618, right? Well, this basic pattern of phi is found in plants. It's found in animals. It's found in the eddies of rivers and, you know, all of this sort of stuff. Well, what you see right there, when you see that same ratio being used again and again and again in all these different facets of reality, what that really is a signature of intelligence. That's what it would be. It's like, oh, the intelligent creator of this creation was like, oh, I'm going to create all of these, this numinous different phenomenon in the world in all these different areas, but I'm just going to use one simple thing to do it. Well, when you see that, you can see that it's like, oh, okay, well, that is a sign of intelligence. And not only is it a sign of intelligence, okay, so it's a sign of intelligence. Who really gives a shit, right? Except man is the only creature that we know of anyway on this plane of existence that actually has the capability and capacity to actually understand and come to intuit that intelligence, which means that man is put in this very, very interesting particular position and situation where he can directly come to understand the very language that God used to create this world. And that is just... It's just magical to me. I went through this whole process and I'm still going through this process, writing books, doing all these sorts of things, exploring the math, explaining it, being methodical and meticulous, as you said, really being a teacher in this sort of stuff. And I've gone through this whole thing and so many people have been like, Jesus, that's amazing. It's just, holy cow, you're really exploring, you know. And then I go back and I ask the same question I ask you. Now you see all that stuff. And then I ask you, why do you think you were not taught math? Because they do not want you to know. They do not want you to know about the language of the creator, of God. And people say, oh, that's stupid, man. Math is just math or whatever. And, you know, it's like I've heard Christians say this to me. Christians have, like, basically lofted these sort of, like, attacks against me saying that I'm, like, anti-Christ or something. I'm very pro-Christ, by the way, but anti-Christ because I'm, like, dealing with occulted, quote-unquote, occulted numerics. I'm like, well, Bible's got nothing to do with numbers. I'm like, dude, the fourth book of the Bible is numbers. what are you possibly talking about? You know? And so this is the kind of thing that I feel like those in power, the elite that should not be, as they're often called, the dark forces are trying to hide humanity because they don't want you to know about your divine nature, period. They don't want you to know about God, period. Sorry, I'm ranting here, Ole. You know, when you look at a Luciferian or a Satanist, however you want to paint that sort of belief and ideology and stuff like that, at the core, at the very core behind all of that, what is a Luciferian, a Satanist? Well, it's exactly what they tell you it is. There's someone who wants to hide and destroy God. What is Satan? He's against God, right? So what is a Luciferian? They're against God. They're against God in this creation. They're against God in this reality, and they don't want you to know about God. And that's what they're there to do. And so I know before we even started this podcast, you're like, hey, let's talk about why are there these false flags and why all this deception and stuff like that. You want the answer? There's the answer. They want to take your divinity away from you. Period. End of story. Full stop.
And with the end of the podcast.
And here we go. Thank you very much. I'm here all week.
But you know, like when... I've always been fascinated when you look at a leaf on a tree, when you see the network of little fine threads where the energy is being spread and the fluids, and then you compare to a river delta or the nervous system in the body or the blood vessels and so on. It's the same. It's the same. Mm-hmm. And based on the exact same design patterns. And I've always felt that, as you said, as above, so below. If we can sort out a problem, for instance, if doctors can find a solution for clogged up veins in a hand or something like that, if you can find a super solution for that, maybe that can be a solution for river deltas as well, you know, that have been clogged up for some reason. So when you talk about the occult, I mean, the occult just means in the dark. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what we have to lift this fog, this veil. Because there's been almost like a spell put on us, so we're not able to see this. And it's only through people like yourself who are helping us to see what is actually going on and what is being hidden for us. That's the only way we can come to an understanding of what is happening.
I think man right now in our current state is, in general, living antithetical to go against the laws of God, to go against those things. And so we need to expose that, and we need to get back on track. And I do not see how we can get out of it. I'll just be honest. I wish, like I said, I wish I had that answer. I wish I had some solution. And I've thought endlessly about it, and I'm sure you have. I don't know what it is. As long as you're aligning against the one thing that is there to, you know, destroy humanity, and that's our collective enemy. Unity is the only thing that's going to get us out of our current situation. Are we going to form that unity? I don't know. I don't know.
You know, I love Mahatma Gandhi, and he said sometimes that at times I despair, but then I think of how dictators have come and gone. At certain points in history, they've looked invincible, that there was no way out, but sooner or later they destroyed from the inside. I see it's like a repeated, almost like an adventure or a drama that is being repeated, and now we're in sort of like an upgraded digital version that looks totally impossible to get out of, but it's still the same drama, and it's still the same inner struggle, the same choices between good and evil. So I can only say on my part, if you ask my brain say we're screwed. If you ask my heart said no problem, we will transcend this thing. We just need to be strong and brave and do and see that if the solution was here, then it wouldn't be anything for us to develop from. Every single step is important on this thing, and the solution will be at the end of the road. Or we might die trying. Who knows? Anyway, it's a circle, isn't it? So,
well, I mean, I'll tell you this. Maybe this is pessimistic. I hope I'm wrong. But I really hope I'm wrong. But I don't expect to see that remedy, that universal panacea, in my lifetime. I don't expect to see that. I expected things to go exponentially worse as they have been going my whole life. That's the trend that I see. Though I say that, I hope that the work that I, you, the other people that are doing, that are honest and sincere in this world, that are trying to help bring out the light. I hope that the collective work that we do, that when our time is gone, that we can set a spark or a fire or that sort of scintilla to start that fire for at least the next generation. That's what I can hope for. I used to be in Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts when I was younger, right? And one of the things that we would learn from, like, it was an old native myth, basically, or a kind of proverb, if you will, it was that the idea is that, hey, you leave your world better than you were given it, and you leave it better for seven generations. Mm. And that's kind of when I look at what I'm doing as an expanse, as a whole, I hope that the undercurrent of what I'm doing is that whatever I bring forward is ultimately going to leave the world in a better shape than I left it. And that's all I can do. You know, we all try to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders because we all want, you know, we're all the Atlas figure, if you will, because we all want the world to be a better place. But it's going to take us all. It takes a community to make change. Marty Leeds isn't going to do it himself. No one's going to do that themselves. It's going to take everybody. And that's what I mean by that unity. So,
do you see love as a power, a real power?
Absolutely.
Yay.
You know, when you just said your mind says we're screwed, your heart says don't worry about it, right? I couldn't agree with that more. Once again, this sounds like new age kind of shit or whatever, or cliche or whatever, but the power of love is real. It really is. And I think the more and more that we express that love, even to the point of like a love your enemy type of thing, you know, like I had some guy he made some video and it was called Marty Leeds 33 is a excuse my language. So I posted it as like a joke on Instagram, and I ended up like showing me liking the video, you know, just as a kind of a joke, just to be, you know, just to kind of be funny or whatever. And someone made a comment like, oh, fuck that guy. And I was like, no, not fuck that guy. My heart goes out to that guy. I know that guy is not in a good place. If he's making a video called Marty Leeds 33 is a he's not okay. He's got mental issues. He's got spiritual issues. He's not my enemy. And even if he was my enemy, I'm going to send that guy love. I'm not going to hate on that guy. You know, why? Because me hating that guy isn't going to do anything. If I got a rise out of that and I like responded to that guy and commented like, oh, you asshole, blah, 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 that would just keep that wheel spinning, wouldn't it? And I don't want to do that. I want to stop that. So I'm going to show that guy love. You know, and if you like go to my channel and if you see some of the comments, somebody would be like, oh, Marty Leeds, your shoulder. I'll actually like it or pin it or something, you know, just to let you know that's not going to faze me. Because that's not where I'm coming from, you know?
Do you know, I love Aikido, the martial art of Aikido, where instead of karate, where you hit and you block, and there's all of these forces sort of banging their heads together in defense and attack, but where Aikido, you step out of the way, you keep your balance, there's no emotion involved, you just step out of the balance, keep your inner focus, and then redirect the attacker's force into a circular motion downwards so that they fall on their own, and then you make sure that they land softly, and then you control them. And it's just like a beautiful dance, but this exact same thing as you're trying to do with karate or other ways of defense, but in emotion and how to use the forces that are being used against you, but ending up against them. I think there's some truth in that of how to deal with these things. Just like you say, this guy call you something that is a direct attack against you, but instead of you going back and hitting back, which is the karate way of doing it, you step aside, you smile, and you let the guy fall. And you make sure that he doesn't fall too hard, because also the hate that you could feel against him would only affect you.
Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, it's not like that is an easy thing to do either.
No.
You know, because I've gotten a lot of hate. I mean, a lot of hate. And there's a ton of people out there that, I mean, I don't even know how they get through it because of the psychic armor that they have to put on just to deal with everything. You know, like, especially like in like the flat earth crowd, when you look at the guys like Mark Sargent and Eric Dubay and Rob Skiba and Jaronism and like ODDTV, like all of those guys that are getting all of that hate for just talking about what they see as truth. I mean, Jesus, the psychic armor that those people have to put on it's way more than I have to put on. So cheers to those people, right? But that's a hard thing to do. A lot of people out there, I don't think you, if you're like a truth seeker or whatever, like you get a lot of hate. I mean, I get messages every day, like basically calling me a Masonic shill or, you know, this sort of thing. And it's just like, it's a difficult thing to deal with. But I also know that me attacking or using my energy against that does nothing. It helps nothing. So I'm going to remove myself from that. I want to elevate beyond that and above that. And I say this, I just said this on the last podcast that I did. I'll say it again. MartyLeads33.com and my YouTube channel, I'm having an adult conversation there. I'm not saying I'm right on everything. Never claimed I have been right on everything. I'm presenting material that makes sense to me, and I'm putting it out there for your investigation. But I'm having an adult conversation. I want people to come by to be heartfelt, to be honest, to be sincere, to be civil, to be moral, to be ethical, and to put your best foot forward and realize that even if I am your enemy, show me some love. You know what I'm saying? Let's try to elevate ourselves and bring us out of this mud and muck and drivel that we find ourselves in. And the best way to do that is to look at each other and be what we are. Have humanity. Be humankind again. And if we can start there, we can build that foundation to build our castle, to build our palace, to build our temple up again. If we don't have that, then I don't know.
But I love the word you just mentioned, humankind. It's not saying human control or human force. It's humankind and gentleman. These are the forces. Yeah. That doesn't mean that you're a wuss or a wimp or anything like that. It means that you are pure and true and in balance with your inner force, the male and the female strength and so on. But it's been taken away that this is the thing also. There's so much of these beautiful ethic, moral things and so that has been kidnapped away from us and hijacked without us really understanding what's going on.
Turning this, let's go full circle here, right back to how we started this conversation, good and evil. Yeah. This is a moral dimension. This is a moral dimension. Your testament to humankind, the human being, the human condition, the human experience, your test is a test of your morality. It's a test of your ethics. How good were you? Here's a lifetime worth of crazy experiences, difficult situations, heartbreak, abuses, addictions, you know, problems, poor, rich, whatever. You're given this just a bevy of things to deal with. And the ultimate test, the ultimate question that is put behind all of that stuff is how moral and good were you when doing all of that stuff? Did you get to the end of the life and you go up to the pearly gates and you're like, yeah, man, I was on YouTube the other day and I told all those people that they were f***ing idiots, and God's going to be like, yeah, man. Woo! No, that's not how it is. At least in my perspective, in my viewpoint, it doesn't make any sense to me. When I get to the end of this life, I want to look back and be like, yeah, I did some shitty things. I was an idiot sometimes. I screwed up. I've had many failures. But I also want to know that whatever I did to get to the end, when I got to the end, that whatever I did would ultimately trump all of that stuff, you know? And that's the path that I want to be on anyway.
When you mentioned before that some native tribes say that our actions affect 7 generations, I've heard that repeatedly. And once you start taking that in, that is quite heavy. So at least for me, it makes it a lot more important for me how I deal with things and my actions and so on, relationships. But the same tribes also say that we, the souls that are here now, are the strongest of the strong, and that we have almost fought to get down here at this point in history, that we've been selected by our ancestors to be the ones that to come down here and experience and transcend this whole thing at this point. So I would also say, if that is true, then what are we wimping about? Here we've been sort of like, just like Siemens, you know, like...
You've been listening to the first hour of A Light on Conspiracies podcast. To access the second hour of this and all podcasts, please visit lightonconspiracies.com and get a membership for the price of a cup of coffee. Now, back to the show.
Here we've been sort of like, just like Siemens, you know, like struggling with millions of others to reach the egg. And then we reach it, and then we sort of like complaining, and I don't want to be, it's scary. It's like, this is not a time to wimp out. This is a time to excel. And just like you say, go for the purity, the beauty in life, because we've got all the choices from the absolute worst to the absolute most beautiful. in all different situations. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. Mm-hmm. And so this is why I love the path I've taken, which has cost me dearly.
Yeah, I mean, the path of truth seeking isn't an easy path. Whoever said it was going to be. As you just said, though, has it been rewarding? Absolutely. Would I change anything? Nope. You know, I mean, going through, did the Pizzagate documentary. That was very difficult. I basically had my head in investigating pedophilia every single day, all day long, for 2 months straight. I mean, and there was no time. I mean, there was at least 2 to 3 days, at least 2 days, if not 3 days at work, where all I was doing all day at work when I was not actually working was on my phone looking at Instagram accounts connected to some of the people there. And it was horrific. It was awful. I mean, it pales in comparison to the people the children that are actually involved in that have been kidnapped and all of that stuff. It pales in comparison to that. But just even dealing with that was just nightmarish. And now coming out going through that whole process and investigating it and putting the documentary out and having, you know, I don't know, a million people or whatever, however many people have seen that. Going on the other side of that, would I do it again, even how awful it was? You f***ing betcha. Because it's important to know that stuff. It's important to go through that darkness and know that stuff. Because it actually expands your consciousness. It makes you more conscious to how the world actually operates and is. Is it scary? Does it suck? Is it frightening? Is it dark as hell? You betcha. But that is what the enlightening process is all about. It's not going to be an easy ride, and don't expect it to be. The best rides aren't easy. The best rides are the ones that go up and down and you're going fast. And, you know, I mean, that's what the journey is all about. Some people don't make it through that journey, though, because it can get very dark.
Yeah.
You know, so there are people that would be in your position that have lost friends. And they'd be like, that's it. I'm done. I'm walking away. No time for cowardice, especially in this world, man.
Nope. That is so true. It's also dangerous for you as a person, me as a person, when you get into these dark areas, because the dark forces do not like to be exposed. But listen, Marty, would you mind? I know there's so many that have heard the word Pizzagate and haven't really understood what it was all about. Would you mind taking us through, the sort of on a general plane, what that is all about?
Well, okay. I mean, in short, what Pizzagate/Pedogate, some people don't like to call it Pizzagate, but basically what that whole thing was, in my opinion, was that we got, to explain it succinctly, concisely, we got a little crack of a door opened into the dark world of the occult and what actually goes on at literally the President of the United States of America and the people that they are associated with. And that goes beyond Democrat and Republican. We got a little door that cracked open to got to see the cult that these people are involved in. We got just a smidgen of darkness, but of light showing that darkness of the satanic rituals, the occultism, the child trafficking, the deception, the lies, all of that stuff is what was just slightly revealed within all of that. And people that had their eyes open and actually investigated that stuff and actually looked at some of those emails and actually looked at the accounts that were attached to some of the Instagram accounts and the YouTube accounts and all of that, people that actually investigated it were sick. Their hearts were sick. They fell, you know, and mine was awful. And so that's really what Pizzagate and Pedogate is about, is that these people are so sick and so demented and so satanic and Luciferian, if you will, as to literally part of their basic theological ideology. Their basic theological ideology is literally child sacrifice, pedophilia. More than likely, organ harvesting and eating these, just even talking about it is just, makes my blood boil. That's what it is. And that is so dark. It's a corner of humanity that's so dark that people don't even want to go there. And what sucks is that corner of humanity is what has been voted into office by millions of people in the States. And that's what it is. That's a cult. And it's an ancient cult, I'm assuming anyway. I don't know because I'm not part of it. But that has been going on for a long time, generationally, and that's what we're dealing with. Our big struggle, humanity's big struggle, that I don't think we even know that, or a lot of people don't even know that's going on, is that we're in a theological war. We're in a holy war, and most people don't even know what's happening.
You know, since I spent some 30-odd years looking into these topic, political assassinations and false flag operations and so on, I've been aware of these pedophile rumors and networks since the early 80s. I started hearing about them.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that the danger with Pizzagate, I think, is that people think that is it, you know, that it's a small little group around Washington that are doing these things. But just like you said, it's a small little door that is opening to show the massive big network that is on a global scale. And this is also, I believe, why they are doing everything they can to shut it down, or divert our attention away from it, so that we won't look at it, because these groups have been going on this for a long, long, long time, and it's a global international network with exchange and children being sent from right, left, center. It's just absolutely horrific.
If I may interject here a second, too, is that what's so interesting about this, and it was the same thing for me, too. When I talked to a bunch of like my kind of conspiratorial-minded friends or whatever, we all knew this was going on. Just like you said, you've known about it for a long time. And I mean, I mentioned this, like David Icke, guys like that have been talking about whatever you think about David Icke, whatever, but I've been literally talking about it for 10, 20 years or whatever it's been. We all know about it. We've all heard about it. We've all heard little whispers here and there about it. But for some reason, this, how it was exposed, it was just so like in your face, where it got to see that, like the people that did investigate, it's like, okay, there's no more compartmentalizing this. There's no more taking this and just kind of throw it in the back of your brain. It's like, well, there's some pedophilia happening. No. This is a fundamental problem that we have, that humanity, the moral goodness of humanity, needs to deal with directly, head on. So yeah, as far as the network, absolutely. I mean, I think the world powers are in conjunction. They're in cahoots with one another. And this is the kind of shit that they do. And it's got to stop. End of story. You know, it's just got to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have children, and I don't plan on having any children, but I feel for all the people that do have children that are bringing them into this world. And I want to leave something for them to let them know that, hey, next time you think you're going to vote and you think you're, you know, Hillary Clinton's going to break the glass ceiling for you, whatever, just know that that's actually what's behind the mentality of these people.
But this is what is so bizarre. I mean, you hear about a pedophile, you think, oh, it's a monster. And it's sort of like a dirty old man hiding outside the playground or something like that in the shadows. But these are people in power positions at the top of the top of the top.
They're people that are intelligent, capable, coordinated. These are not like you were saying, some slackers that, you know, got a big gut and eating some Cheetos and some creepy old man down the street. Nah, man. These are people that are insanely intelligent. They know about the occult. They know about the sacred sciences. They know about the occult truths. They know, there's no question that they know about God, that God is a very, very, very real thing. They know about all this stuff. And they willfully and consciously decide in their own merit to go against the laws of nature and the laws of God. I mean, when you look at Luciferian and Satanism and the idea that what is Luciferian Satanism? It's something that's against God. What more could you do than destroy something that's beautiful than a child's life by doing that? And that's what I mean by, like, when you talk about the Luciferians going in and trying to hide God or trying to dilute God or trying to destroy that which is noble, good, beautiful, and true. What it's a perfect example of that is that those people are willing to destroy a child's life or kill it or a child, something so pure and innocent and beautiful as that. It shows exactly the kind of ideology that's behind these wicked people. It's got to stop.
So how did we get into this situation? How did it get so off track?
Well, I mean, that's honestly a good question. I mean, years of whittling away, and you know how they work too, I'm sure. You know, it's not like they come in and just put the hammer down. It's the slow whittling away of our freedom, slowly whittling away of the education system, slowly whittling away of this, you know, that sort of thing. And it's done over generations. So when you get to me being born in 1979 and popping into existence, it takes me literally 35 years to even get an inkling of what's going on, you know. So how did they do it? Why, you know, I get the why. I mean, it doesn't make any logical sense to me. It doesn't make any sense in my heart why, but I get why they do it. I understand that ideology. How do they do it? I don't know. The only thing is I can say, like, when we get back to this unity thing, is I know that we need to make a stand. And we need to stand up and not be cowards again and unify and get this thing back on track. Otherwise, we know where it's headed. To answer your question, though, how did we get here? I don't know. I'm tired of being here, though.
You know, sometimes I feel it's almost like our generation is here to clean up the mess from previous generations. That I'm on this podcast and in other ways as well, I help give the voice to children of assassins, CIA operatives, all kinds of, you know, people involved in Gladio and so on, where their dads and mothers have been involved in these things that have messed us up. And now it's like we're left with this house that is a total mess, but we are the ones that need to clean it up. And I know somebody told me that his teenage son, he just said, well, listen, you sort this mess out. I'm going to sit here and play video games until you've done it, and then you can count me in again because I am totally innocent. And in one way, I can understand what they're saying, because these young ones, I mean, what did they do to deserve to get here if you don't look at it on a karmic, from a karmic perspective?
You know, it's interesting. The cleanup, I mean, I actually kind of like that idea. That's kind of what we're here to do. Janitor. Yeah, in fact, when people ask me, what do you do, Marty? Are you a mathematician? Or like, no, I'm a janitor.
I like that one. Yeah.
Humanity's janitor.
No, but it's going to be wonderful to, the way I see it, as soon as we transcend this minor bump in the road called the New World Order, it's going to be amazing to start cleaning up Mother Earth and get her back in perfect shape. Listen, Marty, we're coming to the end of the first hour. Could you please tell people how they can contact you, support you in what you want to accomplish, or what you're aiming at? Is there any way we can help you, or please, your website, your music, anything?
Yeah, I mean, MartyLeads33.com and MartyLeads33 on YouTube. If you want to help, share the videos and whatnot, I guess is the best way to do it. I don't ask anybody for monetary help. I don't have advertising on YouTube. I don't have any sort of social media or anything like that. I'm kind of done with all of that, to be honest. You know, I want to help, and so I'm putting out videos in, like you said, in the most methodical and meticulous way. The way that I feel like I can present information that people can easily digest it and easily understand that sort of stuff. So the best thing I can do is, hey, you know, check out what I have to offer, share the videos, and there's a ton of stuff out there. I'm working on a big compilation book, hopefully out next year or something like that, which is basically about a culmination of about a decade's worth of work, really is what it is. And so I'm working on that right now, and then I've got a bunch of new videos that I'm working on right now. In fact, the next couple ones that are coming out is one called De-occulting the Internet or the World Wide Web, which is, I mean, I just basically showed it to my lady last minute. It's just crazy fascinating. Probably one of the best videos I've ever done, honestly. And then I'm working on like de-occulting the International Space Station, the predominance of the septenary cipher I'm looking at. I mean, just a whole bunch of stuff that I'm completely different topics that I'm covering. So tons of stuff to view. So check it out.
Excellent. Really, I want to hear a lot more about that in the second hour. Also, I would like to hear about the CIA and the work you've done on de-occulting that as well, if that would be
sure.
Cool.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah, excellent.
To listen to this full interview, just go to lightonconspiracies.com and subscribe. Give yourself the gift of truth and awareness while supporting Ole's hard efforts to get it out there.